Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome on into another Thursday edition of Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. It is December the 12th. We are at the Game Bar and Grill, as always, getting ready for Thursday night football this evening. And, Mike, I was surprised to see that the San Francisco 49ers are actually favored hosting the L.A. Rams tonight. I figured the Rams would at least be a one-point favorite, even though it is in San Francisco.
Desperation. And that's what it is for San Francisco at this stage. You know, they've had a rocky year, ton of injuries at times, have not played nearly as good as we saw a year ago. And,
for sure,
you know, that window to win a Super Bowl, I think, closed on them. It closed on them, you know, against the Chiefs. That was it. End of story. You know, you've got to know the team. You're going to have to rebuild. You do have some pieces of the puzzle that can put balls in the end zone, but, sure, you know, the injuries to McCaffrey, and then you lose Brandon Ayuk. I mean, he signs the contract a couple weeks later.
Boom.
He's lost for the year, and you see the friction now with Debo kind of complaining in his own way about, I want the ball more.
And then fans are responding back. They're giving you the ball. You got drops.
Yeah, exactly. You catch it. But that team does not run nearly as well if they don't have that big guy tackle, Trent Williams,
amen,
and Christian McCaffrey at halfback. And to be honest with you, they got a halfback closer to McCaffrey than they got a tackle as close to Trent. No, Trent's a bad man out there on that field. Nobody mess with Trent, so to speak. And he's the most mild-mannered guy away from the game.
Sure.
You know, he's
the
like
gentle
a
giant.
Just like a big teddy bear. But he's a real bear when you get him on the field. You don't want him after you. And so I think it kind of cuts to that, the injury part. But, man, those two key pieces of Trent Williams and McCaffrey lost. And it's desperation for the 49ers tonight. They don't win tonight. Got no shot.
You talk about, you know, people worried about the age of a running back like Alvin Kamara. Luckily, he has not had the injury history of CMC, because I don't know what to make of McCaffrey. He was even seeing what was a specialist overseas, and, you know, he comes back still and gets banged up again. He didn't practice all of training camp, and I don't know. A guy you wish the best for has got a ton of talent, but someone that just cannot stay on the field. They were lucky last season, obviously, he was able to.
He was a workhorse with the Panthers early on, and then the body started to break down. Man, you touched the ball that many times, that many hits. And if you walk up to Christian McCaffrey, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He ain't Derrick Henry.
Right.
I'll put it to you that way. He's not a big guy, but, man, his speed, his quickness, his ability to make people miss in space is just so special. But, you know, you give him the ball as many times as what the 49ers have, he's going to eventually break down. He's just not built to do that year in, year out. I don't know any running back that can do it, to be honest.
Yeah, even Derrick's had his share of injuries, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I do some coverage for the Titans, and
right,
even Derrick has broke down at times. And it's just a wear and tear of a running back that you see with what you see with McCaffrey. And here's the crazy part. This coming Sunday, we're going to see his brother, Luke.
Yeah.
He's the wide receiver. You know, with Noah Brown, looks as though he's lost for the season with an internal injury. We talked to Kelsey Nicole last night about it, and she said he's not just out weeks, he's out for the year. Basically, from what she's hearing, Luke McCaffrey is going to get a big chance to get on that playing field. Man, look at this. Think about, you know, his grandfather. He ran in the 1960 Olympics as a sprint champ. Man, his mom was an unbelievable volleyball player.
Some
his
good
dad,
genetics.
Genetics, man. He got it. His dad, you know, former NFL player. And, you know, he had a brother that played a little while in the NFL and certainly with Christian. So we get to see Luke. And, you know, first time I saw Luke, he was a quarterback in high school.
Wow, okay.
He's pretty doggone good, too. And then they switched him to receiver. He went to Nebraska. And, oh, man, what? They don't throw the ball enough here. I'm going to Rice. And, man, he's a really good athlete, a big, tall guy. And see how well the Saints DBs go up against him.
Obviously, you mentioned we're talking a little bit about injuries here. Want to get right into the Saints injury report right off the bat. Not practicing today, same as yesterday, guys. It was Derek Carr, DeMarco Jackson, Alvin Kamara. But in addition to that, Bub Means, the wide receiver, was limited yesterday, was downgraded to do not practice with an ankle issue. And then limited was Juwan Johnson and a full go, Tano Passanio, as he's coming back from that Achilles issue.
Man, I think about, you know, if you got kids or grandkids, they all got something today. And even grown-ups, everybody got a cough or cold or flu or whatever. And I think that's what you're dealing with here with Kamara.
Right.
Yeah, because, man, that stuff is all over the place. No, I know. I got two grandkids. You know, they always got one of them's got one or the other. And, they, you know, you kind of spread it in that sort of deal. So I can understand the thing with Kamara. Only thing I can always – I never forget Sean Payton telling me this. Sean, Kamara had missed a couple of days in practice. And he was like, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
He said, he's one of the smartest players I've ever been around. And if you tell him something once, he gets it. And so he said, I'm not worried about him. Now, he said, some others I would be really concerned about that they didn't understand. But he said, Alvin understands football at another level.
So hopefully at least the Saints get to see him back tomorrow, you would think, in limited action.
If not Saturday.
Right, exactly.
You know, because, you know, I don't know exactly what he has, but you just pass out a doctor's office today, that parking lot's pretty full. So stuff's going around. You get hot weather and then cold weather and then cool weather and back to hot. You know, that stuff spread around.
It's funny you say that. Full parking lots. I thought we had a pretty full hot lot here today at the Treasure Chest Casino coming in. Everyone's staying nice and warm in here.
Yeah, I parked on the backside, and then I walked in. Man, they got some people in here, so come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here at the bar. And if you want to place a little wager, I told somebody about an over and under bet, man, and they run out there because he saw I had a ticket too. So he was like, okay, if you got the ticket, I'm going to do it too. So we'll see how that rolls.
We got a jam-packed show for you today. After the first break, we're going to talk to Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Pel's back in action today hosting the Sacramento Kings. After that, we'll also be joined by Ron Higgins, Shreveport Bossier Journal sports columnist, breaking down all things about with Bill Belichick joining North Carolina. Also, LSU, the transfer portal, and we got news today. Obviously, Emory Jones going to the pros. He won't be coming back next year.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me. I always thought he was better off inside than at right tackle. You know what? He's played pretty good at right tackle. He's a power player. He really is a power player. He's gotten much better in the pass protection part of the game. I would give him a shot. Can you play right tackle? If not, I can put you inside at right guard, and he's a power guy. I would project him as a second-round pick right now.
Nice. And then second hour, 5 o'clock hour, Chrissy Freud, college football and NFL writer for USA Today Sports Media Group will join us after that. Jeff Duncan, columnist for The Times, Picayune, and NOLA.com. And then we'll wrap things up in the 6 o'clock hour, 6:25. Matt McMahon, LSU men's basketball coach, the Tigers playing good basketball right now, getting ready for the end of the month will be SEC play. They got a matchup against SMU coming up on Saturday. And then 7 o'clock Thursday night football, Rams versus 49ers on 105.3 FM, 870 AM. We got the Pels taking on the Sacramento Kings. So we got everything sports for you here on WWL. We're going to take a break. And when we return, Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast will help us break down all three things Pels right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Hanging out at the Game Bar and Grill inside the Treasure Chest Casino, getting ready for the Pelicans taking on the Sacramento Kings. That's 6:30 pregame coverage on 870 AM with a 7 o'clock tip-off. To help us talk about it all, joining us now from the Locked On Pelicans podcast, Jake Madison. Thanks a lot for the time, Jake. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Jake, they'd have been better off giving us the list of people that gonna play instead of not playing. Because when that injury list came out, we were talking about that yesterday. Man, just give me the list of the guys that are playing. But, you know, just like almost when you take one step forward, you take two steps back. And this team is, man, the injury bug has really bitten them and bitten them a couple, three different times. So that has certainly affected the game. But more so, your thoughts on Sacramento. This was a team that a lot of people thought maybe can make it to the big game because of their offensive skills. Oklahoma City, I think, may throw something in there to stop them along with the Nuggets. But your thoughts on Sacramento before we start talking about the Pelicans?
Look, it's an example of how hard it is at times to build a roster and how hard it is to succeed in the NBA. They have two bona fide stars in De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, two guys that complement each other really well, too, and they thought they were a piece away, and their big move was DeMar DeRozan, and you've seen that maybe he doesn't exactly fit. And, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about them and this team's playing New Orleans tonight. You know, DeMar DeRozan, in a sense, is a similar player to Brandon Ingram, a guy that really wants to be in the mid-range and take those mid-range jumpers. But you see how a guy that focuses on that versus shooting threes versus getting at the rim affects spacing. And look, I get people don't love all the three-pointers and the space in the NBA, right? But that's how you're going to win at that level right now. And when your spacing is mucked up, it's not going to lead to really good things, and that's why you see Sacramento kind of disappointing on the offensive end. Despite all of that talent there, they should be better than they are. But it's tough to kind of put some of these rosters when you have an ill-fitting piece like that. And, it, you know, it's similar for New Orleans, right? Zion and Ingram just haven't really coexisted because their skill sets aren't complementary like maybe they need to be. And that's why we've heard rumors of Ingram being, you know, on the trade block and what have you. So you can kind of see a parallel there, even healthy, right? And they've been, for the most part, pretty healthy this year. They've dealt with some injuries, Sacramento, and it still hasn't worked. And it just shows you getting the right pieces and assembling the exact right roster, it's just really hard, I guess, at the NBA right now.
Jake, you know, I talk about this a lot, too, in the NFL, about fit. Okay, there's every year in the draft, probably three, four, maybe stretch to five. No matter where they go, the production would be the same. What's the big cut is how they fit in that scheme, in that system. People say, oh, he's a bust here, but he played well there. You know why? He fits better there. And you seeing it, what you just said about Sacramento is exactly that.
Look, you know, that's where coaching matters, right? Look, the NBA is a player-driven league, and it's not the same as the NFL where you're calling plays every time down. You have some core concepts that you want to run, and your players have to go out and kind of execute that. So the coaches can't do it themselves, but you can design those core concepts to fit around your players. And if the players don't fit that, it's going to be a little bit disappointing. Look, even when this team has been healthy, they haven't looked particularly great. Now, that's rarely been this season. You know, it lasted for about a game and a half before Ingram got hurt again. But even going back to last year times, they've been a little bit disappointing, or years before that. And so you've got to wonder what role coaching plays in that. And I'm not saying Willie Green's a bad coach or anything like that, because far, far more goes into it than just the X's and O's and coming up with a game plan. But that matters. And, you know, as a coach, I feel you need to put your players in the best position to succeed, not try and fit a square peg into a round hole. You're seeing that with Sacramento. You've seen that at times with New Orleans, too.
Yep.
And I think that's ultimately why you heard David Griffin at the end of last season say, like, we've got to make changes. You know, he said we've erred on the side of continuity, but now we've got to make some changes because we've seen that that didn't work. And, you know, that was the plan to trade Brandon Ingram, and because of the contract situation and other things, his play style too, that hasn't worked out. But that was kind of the catalyst, in my opinion, for the guy who makes the decisions to say that sort of thing.
Yeah, my feeling about continuity is great if it works. If it don't work, then you got to move off continuity. And I think sometimes teams stay too long not wanting to make a tough decision and not wanting to move certain people at certain times. And, you know, sometimes change is good. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's accurate.
I mean, you look at a couple of teams and how they position themselves for rebuilds and things like that. Look at Oklahoma City right now.
Yeah.
They're in the position they are because they traded Paul George away. They had traded for him the season before, and that was a big move getting him from Indiana. And then they moved him to the Los Angeles Clippers within a year or something like that. I forget the exact timing. And that was the smartest thing that they could have done. You know, you've seen that Ingram doesn't have a ton of trade value around the league because he's in the last year of the deal. And, you know, the NBA is a little bit weird. The best time to trade somebody is in the first year of their new contract, right? Why re-sign a guy if you're just going to trade him 6 months later? But that's the truth of it. And the longer you wait on these, the worse it can be. And so you've got to be able to make those bold decisions sooner rather than later and really stick to your guns and maybe be willing to go down with the ship and get fired if it doesn't work out. But sometimes standing pat, as you said, continuity doesn't work. Same thing for culture, too. You can talk about a great culture all you want, but if you're not winning games, does the culture actually matter when that's what we're here to do? It's not here just to have a happy team and for everyone to be smiling, right? It's to go out and win basketball games or football games, whatever the sport is going to be. So you need to make those tough decisions, and the Pelicans' lack of being able to, you know, doing that, and look, there's reasons they didn't, you know, is kind of coming home. You know, it's like the chickens coming home to roost, whatever cliche you want to use right now.
Jake, when you look at this Sacramento squad, obviously last year is a whole different story, but at least this Pelican squad knows they've had success against this team, winning all their matchups against the Kings a year ago. Can they take anything from those games into this matchup today in the Smoothie King Center?
You should take confidence.
Right.
You did it before. Because if I'm doing something against somebody, you should. But I don't know if they got enough firepower, Jake.
That's my question here. You know, a lot of the reason they went 6-0 against the Sacramento Kings in various games last season, including the play-in tournament, was Brandon Ingram played in those games, and he was really good in those. They didn't have Zion in that play-in tournament game, but you had a lot of confidence they were going to win because, for whatever reason, Brandon Ingram likes to stick it to the Kings. But he's not playing in this game. You know, I think what's going for the Pelicans, what their biggest advantage here is, they're desperate, right? This is a bad season. There's a lot of trade rumors about various guys on this team, right, and their roles and what they do here. If they want to quiet that, it's go out and play hard and win basketball games and not lose by double digits. Right now, losing by five would be a victory, it feels like, for this team in a sense. Go out and play kind of desperate and fight harder, because people are mocking you around the league because this might impact your future contracts and things like that. They need that. Look, Sacramento is going to want to win this game. They were not happy about going 0-6 against New Orleans this year, and they're going to celebrate if they win this one, you know, as if they won the NBA Finals in a sense, I think. So you have to know that and be mentally prepared for that. And look, if New Orleans wants to show some fight, they want to show the culture, they want to show some of the things that they have here, they're just mental makeup, you've got to bring it in this game against a team that you have dominated for the past 12 months.
Jake, definitely always appreciate the time. Hopefully we have get back in the win column tonight. Hopefully the Smoothie King Center's a rocking too with these Kings in town.
We'll find out. Looking forward to being there and then talking about it on the podcast tomorrow.
Always appreciate it, Jake. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are going to take a break, although I want to give a quick update in the prep scene, Mike.
Yeah.
We've got, looking at the scoreboard right now, it is 0-0 between South Plaquemines and Hainesville, that game in action. But earlier today, Vermilion Catholic ends up beating Ouachita Christian 33-21.
Yeah, they won in the Division IV Select State Championship, so congratulations to Vermilion Catholic. And boy, they got a quarterback there in Jonathan D'Artes. I think he's up to 176 total touchdowns in his career.
What?
176. Carried the ball 47 times today. You could say he's a, how they say that, workhorse. But, man, congratulations to Vermilion Catholic in that 33-21 win over Ouachita Christian. And they are the Division IV Select State Champions.
We're taking a break. When we get back, Ron Higgins from the Shreveport-Bossier Journal sports columnist will be joining us, breaking down all things LSU and talking a little about the new North Carolina head football coach, Bill Belichick.
Who that dude is again?
I think I heard of him before. Be right back after this here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Happy to join by now Ron Higgins of the Shreveport-Bossier Journal sports columnist. Thanks so much for the time, Ron. How you doing tonight?
Craig, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, Ron. That's not too many things in life I could say I'm surprised at today. Because, you know, you hear it all in the sports world. I can openly say I was shocked. Bill Belichick taking a college job at North Carolina. You could have given me a lot of guesses. That wouldn't have been on the scorecard for me.
I just started laughing. I haven't stopped laughing. When I think of a college head football coach, I think of somebody who has to have personality to sell himself to recruits, has to speak at booster club meetings, and, you know, even when he's not happy, he tells jokes and fakes it. All the peripheral stuff. I can't imagine Bill Belichick doing any of that.
I agree.
I mean, like, I'm just thinking, imagine Bill Belichick trying to kiss the rear end of some booster, trying to get money out of him. I don't see it. And, you know, I don't know if he should have talked to Nick Saban before he took this job, because Nick would have told him about all the peripheral stuff in coaching is what drags you down. When you actually get on the field, that's the fun part. It's all the stuff around it the rest of the day that kind of just takes your time and aggravation and energy. And I don't know, I mean, unless Belichick decides I'm going to hire people and they're going to do all this stuff for me and I'm just going to coach, I don't see that. I don't know of any college coach who can do that. I really don't.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. I talked to Pete Jenkins yesterday, and, you know, Pete's he's like Sean Connery. He'll never say never about coming back and coaching. He's 83 years old, but he's like, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. It would be one hell of a job for me to take. And he said, you know, this is a young man's game, and it wears you down. All the things that you just brought up, not just coaching, but re-recruiting your own players, going out and, you know, trying to get 18, 19-year-olds to transfer portal. But what you bring up is going and meeting with boosters, booster clubs, everything else, and to have that personality that you're going to mesh with them one way or another. I agree with you. I don't see it in Bill. He can still coach. I'm not going to question that. But it's the other things that you have to do as a college coach. That's why I think you're seeing a lot of college assistant coaches not staying, and they're going to the pros.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're tired of, say, working 3 years on a recruit, and the guy the week of the commit, you know, the signing day, takes the bag. I mean, I know people think college head coaches get overpaid. I don't buy that. Not in today's world, where basically you've got to re-recruit your team every year, and basically you build your team for next year, not past next year. You build it for next year. Because you don't know what's going to happen at the end of next year. You don't know who's going to go into transfer portal. You don't know who's going to want to go pro. We have no idea. And so it's become like a really one-year-at-a-time deal. And if you have a good recruiting class, great. Hope you can keep them maybe 2 or 3 years before they want more money. I mean, if you can afford them, or they'll go somewhere else. It's and I look at all that. I look at Bill Belichick and say, this just doesn't compute to me. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, they thought this was a splash hire. It's the most – you're like me, man. It's the most curious hire I've ever seen. I'm like, that's the last guy I would have thought who wants to go coach college football. When I think college football, I don't think Bill Belichick at all.
No, I don't.
Not at all.
You know, if I wanted a veteran coach, you know what I went after? Pete Carroll. Been there, done that. And I think Pete would be good. No, he knew how to do things even before it was legal. So my deal is, I think Pete, exactly, if he wanted to come back, he could be a very good college coach. Because I know he's in his 70s, but he act like he's in his 40s.
Yeah, you know, and Pete has a personality. He's coached national championship teams. He's recruited them. He's good living rooms. He's good with boosters. He's really good with everybody. And that's what you got to have. You know, I mean, I just saw that when they hired the thing. I just went, oh, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, is this the same guy that they've seen on a million press conferences? Just like say three words. I'll be laughing all the way next season. Really, honestly.
Again, it was the shocker to me. No surprise, shocker that he would take that job. Ron, give us your thoughts. Tennessee playing Ohio State. Does Tennessee really have a shot here? And I think they do, because you know what? Ohio State, in some of these big games, they played pretty well, and other times not. I wonder the mindset of the Buckeyes going up against a Tennessee team that says, you know what, nobody's giving us a shot here, and they could pull the big upset.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee's key is if their quarterback doesn't implode, because they have a really good running game and they have a really good defense, and that can take you a long way if you don't make too many mistakes offensively. This is Tennessee's first time they've played at Ohio State. They've never played there. I know that. You know, they've played a lot of places, but never Ohio State. I think Tennessee's got a real shot in this game. This is like a 9-8. This is like a NCAA tournament. You know, I mean, you know, a 9-8. You know, I always think, but the 9's got a chance to win. I really think they do. But I like the bracket. I like the 12 teams they picked. I mean, 8 of them are in conference championship games. I thought pick the right 12. You know, I thought SMU deserved to get in the way they played their conference championship game. You know, everybody's always going to be gripe, just like the NCAA basketball tournament. Yeah. Gripe when you're the first or second out. But I thought it was they did a nice job of this.
Ron, one of the things, and just looking at it, no game's easy. But I think a team who's got a path to get there, Penn State, just look who they draw. And then if you win, then you play Boise State. That, to right. me, now, again, James Franklin got to win a big game, okay? And right. I thought he did a good job against a very good Oregon team last Saturday, and he had an opportunity there. They really did to upset the Ducks, but you look at the brackets. That team may have the easier ride than anybody else.
Well, I agree. The other bracket's brutal. I mean, they played Boise State, then did they win that? That's who they got to Arizona State, Texas, or Clemson. I mean, they're comparable to them. But the other bracket's brutal. Oregon, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, Notre Dame. They got the easy bracket. You're right. But it could happen. You know, but you're like me. He hasn't won a big game. And that's always the question with him. You know, he always gets them to the brink, and they never win a big game. And now he's playing SMU, and a really feisty team, man. I know they lost last week on an incredible long field by Clemson, but SMU kind of battled back, and that's gonna be a really good game. I love, you know, this is like uncharted territory. This is something like we've always wanted, and
yeah.
Now you see this lineup of games just the first weekend. It's like, wow, this is cool. I mean, and it just gets better and better. So I'm looking forward to this a lot. Now, I know. Louisiana fans are down, that, you know, not happy that LSU's not in it, but man, I don't care. This is a great 12-team field. I can't wait for this thing to get going.
One of the things with Georgia not having Carson Beck, and I get it with the second-string quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball as well, but he's got some movement skills that scares the bejesus yeah. out of you. Because of that, they play the run well. They can run the football. Beck's been hot and cold all year long. But now you got a couple of weeks with that backup quarterback. And
right.
I think it's not like you're playing him the next week. You got a little bit of time here for him to get his timing down in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, you see he's got a good arm. I mean, otherwise, he wouldn't be in Georgia. And I thought he was – for him to come in cold like that,
I thought
that
he
game,
played great.
That well,
yeah.
It was great. I mean, I thought he played fantastic. And it's like he came into the game and like, the defense, Texas defense corner was like, who's this guy? They kind of froze. They weren't ready for him. But it was like watching LSU and Tennessee all over again, the SEC championship game.
Right.
When Mark came in, it was like, he's running. We don't know how far we're running at the quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, he has 2 weeks to get ready. I think they'll smooth the passing stuff out. He does add the element of running. And that's,
yes, he does.
I think that's having another running back there is always a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, that was a gutsy win by Georgia to suck it up, win that game when your quarterback goes out. Yeah.
I thought Quinn Ewers didn't play well at all. And I wonder.
No, I agree.
It rolls through your mind of who's the backup. And, you know, Sark's going to have to make a choice somewhere along the line here. If Quinn continues to play like that, he's got to pull the plug, and he's got to go with Arch. I know he doesn't want to do
agree.
It. I know he doesn't want to yeah. do it, but I think he might be forced to, similar to how Saban, you know, he didn't want to pull it with Jalen Hurts, but he had to. Right. He goes to two, and they win the national championship.
Yeah, I agree. I know they put Arch in for one play in that game. Every time I watch him in a big game, I think he plays that great. I don't know what it is. I mean, am I imagining things? Or
no, you're right. I mean, you are right.
I mean, he just makes crazy throws and throws sidearm stuff and just, I mean, does stuff that I don't think he needs to do or is taught to do or equipped to do. But every time I watch him in a huge game, it's just not there for me. I mean, and with a guy with that much experience, you expect better. And they haven't had it. I mean, I'm like you. I'd be interested to see when, you know, at this point, would they finally, you know, go with Arch? And as we know, Arch would probably be unfazed by all this. I mean,
he'd be the coolest cat in the bunch. He'd be cool with it.
Mannings usually are. You know, that's what they're made for.
Well, I know one thing. Yeah. He can run a lot better than his two uncles, and he sort of run a little bit like Red. I don't know if he got all those moves, but I do know he's got some movement skills that Quinn Ewers does not have.
Oh yeah, you know, when we saw that when he started those games, I mean he take a simple keeper and turn to a 70-yard touchdown because he had moves. He has great vision and he's fast.
Ron, definitely appreciate the time. Have a good one. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you.
That was Ron Higgins, Shreveport Bossier Journal sports columnist. We're going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Stay locked right there here on WWL. Hey, North Shore, reminding everybody the holidays are a perfect time to gather with friends and family for good eating, drinking, and lots of football. Saturday, join Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier for a special edition of Sports Talk live from the Rouse's Market in Covington. We'll be talking Saints football, top NFL matchups, and you can shop for everything you need to entertain for the holidays. Celebrate the season with the two Cajuns, Bobby and Mike, Covington, Rouse's on Saturday. Be back with more Sports Talk right after this.